If you have your Bibles, let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. We'll read verses 6 through 13. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon their leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. And when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for so much and given to the poor." When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, "Why trouble you the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial to her." I have fulfilled that scripture in your ears tonight simply by reading the story. Praise be unto God for the reading and the hearing of His precious and eternal word. It's a festive thing. There's a feast at the house of Simon the leper. That tells me something right off, that he's been healed. If Simon was still a leper, they wouldn't be eating at his house. But Simon the leper has been healed. He knows Jesus. Now, you have to understand that Simon the leper has three children. Their names are Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And Lazarus has recently had an experience that's far out. Lazarus had been sick, real sick, and had died and been buried for 4 days. The tomb had been sealed shut, and Christ commanded him life, and he came from the grave, stood up, and lived. Now, Jesus is eating a feast at the house with Mary and Martha and Lazarus and Simon. We know some of the people that were there. 12 others we know, those are the apostles, and possibly some of the women that traveled with them. So it's a pretty good-sized crowd that they're feeding. Now, we don't know what they had to eat, but we know what a position they were in when they did eat. They weren't around the table as you would be. It's hard for me to imagine this in the process of digesting, and as messy as I've become as an old man, I'd have it all over me. They reclined at the table, which was low to the floor. That Leonardo da Vinci painting of the Last Supper is so unscriptural, it's not funny. It's nice to look at, but it's unscriptural. Because they're sitting at a table with a tablecloth on it, like you would eat at. It's not that kind of table. They're reclining on their arm, so when it says that John lay in the bosom of Jesus, that meant that when Jesus was leaning like this and eating, leaning with his left arm and eating, that John is laying right here next to him. So that means their feet are back here and their heads are at the table. By the way, they hadn't invented forks and spoons yet. They ate with knives and the sop. Food was put in a large container in the middle, and bread was broken, and people sopped. You remember Jesus gave Lazarus the sop, and people sopped out of a common dish, and they ate. This is what's going on. So when you picture these people, if you picture Leonardo da Vinci's picture, or the pictures that people paint of the Last Supper, then Mary would have had to got down in the floor and crawled under the table to have done what she did. I don't know if you think about things like that, but I think about things being accurate. There's a picture in the courthouse of the Parisburg. It's a painting during the Civil War. And our artist's liberty goes a long way. But it bothers me in that Civil War painting that there's a porch on the front of the courthouse. Because a photograph taken during the battle in Parisburg will show you for sure that there was not a porch there during the Civil War. And it was not added, by the way, until about 1920. It was done in the 20th century. So when I look at Jesus sitting at the table, I know he wasn't sitting that way And I know Mary did not get down on the floor and crawl around under the table to get to his feet. I know that he was laying on his elbow and eating the sop, and his feet were back here. And all the disciples were laying around the table. By the way, there were no women at that meal. Those were men sitting there at the table. The women were doing what women were supposed to be doing back there, cooking and cleaning and serving the table. Well, that was their definition of it, and that was the way it was. And the women would have eaten in another room by themselves. But at some time during the meal, a woman, Matthew doesn't tell us a lot about her, but this is told in three Gospels. So if you put them all together, you have this wonderful picture of Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, and the daughter of Simon the leper, who comes in behind him and begins to do something wonderful. She's carrying an alabaster box of ointment. It's very expensive ointment. He tells us that it's 300 pence. Now, a man earned a pence a day for working. So this is more than a year's worth of work that she has brought in this box. It is sealed in the alabaster box and cannot get out. She could have poked a hole in it and got just a little out. She could have cracked it just a little bit and got just a little out. But she's extravagant. She breaks the whole top. There's no returning. There's no going back. There's no taking it back. She breaks the whole top off the alabaster box. And we read from Luke and from John also. And we realize that she begins to do two things. She begins to pour out this oil, spikenard. We know it's what it is from what the other Gospels tell us. She begins to pour out the spikenard on the head of Christ. And it begins to fill his hair. And the room is filled with the aroma of what she's doing. And the oil is pouring down through his hair. His hair certainly would not have been as short as mine. And we don't know how long it would have been. Maybe not like the pictures depict him. But he had a full head of hair. And his hair is filled with the anointing of the oil and the fragrance of it as it runs down. And he smells it. And then she becomes even more extravagant. She pours this very expensive ointment on the only other part of his body that she can reach, see, or touch, and that's his feet. And she begins to pour the alabaster box of ointment not only over his head, but over his feet. And then she becomes real extravagant. What does the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians say about a woman's long hair? Says it's her glory. And she begins to pour her glory out on him. His feet that have been walking through the streets and in bad places all day, she pours out the ointment on his feet and lets her hair down, pulls the pins out or the ribbons or whatever was holding it up, and lets her long hair down, and she begins to wipe his feet with the hair of her head. And she begins to love him. That's what she's doing. She's loving him. She's pouring it out on him. It's an act of faith and love. This woman saw more than all the other apostles put together. Every time Jesus said something about dying, they said, oh no, not that. Every time he talked about the cross, they said, not so, Lord. And we're like that, aren't we? If we have a loved one that's dying, and they start talking about the hereafter, and they start talking about dying, we turn the subject off, don't we? We say, no, you're not going to die. You're going to get better. Things are going to get better. Well, they don't always get better. People do die. How many people die that are living? All of us, 100% of us. And Jesus has been telling them and telling them and telling them that he's going to die. This is the only person that believes him. Now, there's something wonderful about this woman. She's been listening to Jesus for a long time. Mary watched Jesus raise her brother Lazarus from the dead. Mary is misunderstood. She is so devoted to Jesus. And no, my friends in Salt Lake City, he did not marry Mary and Martha. They were his friends, but he did not marry them. And Mary when Jesus comes to their house, as he is wont to do when he's in Jerusalem, and in the Holy Week of preceding Easter, he stays with them every night. That's when this happened. And you know what? She's been listening and listening and listening. She's been sitting at his feet, and people misunderstand her. They misunderstood what she's doing right here. They criticized it and made fun of it. And you know what? When Jesus would come, she wanted to hang on his every word. She wanted to hear everything he had to say. And she would sit at his feet and listen to his words. And Martha, she grumped about it the whole time. Tell her to get up and help me. Man, there's all these people to feed. There's all these pots to clean, all these bowls to clean, all this food to make. And she just sits around listening. Tell her to get up and help me, Lord. And Jesus takes up for her then as he does now and says, she's chosen the good part. She's chosen the good thing. You know what? There'll be dinners to preach to fix tomorrow. There'll be dinners to fix next year. But right now, Martha, Mary needs to hear the word of God. And she's been listening better than Peter and James and John have. And they were up on the Mount of Transfiguration. She's been listening better than his brothers and his sisters and his mother have been listening. Everybody said, no, you're not going down there. You're not going to die. You're not going to be crucified. No such thing. They only crucified vile criminals on a cross. No ordinary person was ever crucified. Only vile criminals. And you know what? This woman's been listening. She says he's going to die. He's going to die this week. But you know, she has faith. Because I have to tell you, there were a couple of Marys that went to the tomb afterwards. And there were a couple of Marys that went to the cross. But Mary of Bethany never goes to the cross. And Mary of Bethany never goes to the tomb. You know why Mary of Bethany doesn't go to the tomb? She knows he's not going to be there. She's already knowing that when he dies, she's not going to be able to anoint him. So she decides, I'm going to anoint him now. And she takes, wonder how long she had to save to get this box of alabaster ointment. The alabaster box is worth something, but the ointment's worth 300 pence, which is a year's wages for a working man. Wonder how long a woman had to save. She's a woman. She don't have a vote. She don't have a say-so. She can't go in the synagogue. She can't go in the temple except in the women's part. She has to stand behind a curtain. She has to stand behind a partition. She's told when she can speak and when she can't speak. She's told what she can do and what she can't do. She's nothing like a woman in America today. Her head is covered. Her body is covered. She probably doesn't have a veil over her face, but she might as well have because the hood is pulled out. And if you saw her hands and her feet, you saw all of her you were ever going to see because this woman is a woman of the first century and people misunderstand her and people can't understand what she's doing. But my friend, Mary of Bethany is a woman of faith. Now, she's not the only person in that room. You understand there are 12 apostles there and one of them's name, by the way, is Judas. So when Mary begins to pour it out, Judas begins to criticize. He begins to say, do you know how much this is worth? Man, we could have taken this and fed poor people forevermore. How far this 300 pence of ointment would have gone if it had been sold and given to the poor? Now, somebody hadn't been listening to Jesus because when Judas says this, Matthew and Mark and John and James and all of these apostles and Peter, what do they start doing? They join in with Judas. They don't know he's the devil. They don't know he's wrong or he's bad. And they join in with Judas. Now, Judas has an ulterior motive. If this is put in the treasury that Jesus has, then who gets it? Judas, because he carries the bag. And Judas is looking forward to that treasury growing geometrically. Now, he has in mind that this is a wrong thing to do, that they ought to put the money in the treasury and they ought to use it for the poor. Well, what a sad thing. Here's this poor woman doing the best she can, doing everything she can, doing more than anybody else is doing. And what's happening? The 12 apostles are criticizing her. You know, one of the saddest things I've ever seen is a lay Christian or a young Christian start to do something for God and be criticized by the clergy. The preacher begins to criticize them. The preacher begins to say something to them and kill their spirit and throw cold water on their experiences. And this is what's happening. This woman is doing everything in her power to honor her Lord. She has expended her ointment. She has poured it out on him, on his head and on his feet. She has let her hair down and put her glory to his good. She has given everything. And my friend, I have to tell you about love. Love is extravagant. Love doesn't hold back. When somebody is loving, they say, but they're holding back, holding back, holding back, there's something wrong. Because when you're loving somebody, and when you're in love, my friend, you pour it all out. You give all you can. No turning back. And this woman, I mean, Judas can't catch this ointment. It's running down his hair and down his body. It's running down his feet. It's running on the floor. It's in her hair. It's everywhere. The house is filled with this fragrance. What a wonderful thing she's done. But you know what? Everybody else thinks she's wasted her giving. Everybody else thinks she's wasted what she's doing, and she's wasted her effort, and she's wasted her money. Everybody else is critical of what she's done. But you know what? I have to tell you something. Nothing, listen to me, nothing you give to Jesus is wasted. Nothing you give to Jesus is wasted. I remember years ago, when all of Sister Effie's work of all the churches that she had broke up and all the churches were there, I remember one lady from Williamson who was well off and owned some businesses had put money within the treasury, and I remember distinctly her coming back and say, I'm going to sue her. I'm going to get my tithes back. I'm going to get my money back I put in the church. My friend, you can't do that. You can't do it that way. It doesn't work that way. And listen. When you give it to Jesus, you give it with your whole heart. You pour it out with your whole heart. And you know what? If somebody else mismanages it or does something wrong with it, you don't have to answer for that. You gave it to Jesus, and it wasn't wasted. You're going to get your reward for it because it did. You know what? Jesus takes up for Mary. Peter and James and John may not have noticed. Bartholomew and Thomas and Nathaniel may not have noticed. Judas may have been critical and they may have joined in with him. But Jesus noticed Mary as he did when she sat at his feet. And he said, leave the woman alone. Don't trouble her. Why are you troubling her? She has done a good thing for me. She did it for me. And he pours out words of comfort. And you know what he says? He says, wherever this woman goes, and this gospel is preached, this story is going to be told as a memorial to her. Now think about what she just did. She saturated his hair with spikenard. This is one of the most potent. Teresa, you would have been in the hospital if you'd been in that room. This is one of the most potent. It's made out of nard and myrrh and one other herb. And it is collected in India and Afghanistan and that part of the world. It has to be transported by camel train in alabaster boxes that it's sealed in all the way across the desert for hundreds and hundreds of miles to Palestine where these people buy it. That's why it's so expensive. And she has bought this box and she has brought it and she's poured it out on him. You can smell it everywhere. But the fragrance lasted for days. I want you to think about something. It's 2 days before Passover. When did Christ die? At the day before Passover. Do you realize what happens when Christ is being beat and the crown of thorns is on his head and the sweat and the blood is running down? Guess what he smells? When he's going through the streets and carrying the cross on his back, and I'll pretend I'm one of the girls in black, and he's going through the streets with the cross on his back. You know what? And the sweat's running down and carrying the ointment out of his hair. Guess what he smells? And when Jesus is hanging on the cross and the blood and the sweat is running down his face and in his eyes and in his face, as it runs down out of his hair, and his hair falls down over his face, and he smells, you know what he smells? He smells Mary's ointment. As he hangs on the cross, as he endures the suffering and the pain as he goes through Calvary, as he kneels in the garden and prays until his sweat becomes as great drops of blood, he smells the sweet smell of Mary's ointment coming down, the fragrance that she has anointed him with. He no doubt has the best smelling feet in Jerusalem. Even the rich high priest and the powerful Roman governor would never have taken 300 pence of fragrance and poured them on his feet. They would have never burst the whole box and poured it over her head. But let me tell you something. Jesus said, she did it for me. She saw Easter coming. There were two Marys that went to the tomb. One was Mary Magdalene. The other was Mary Cleophas. But Mary of Bethany never went to the tomb. She had already anointed him. They went to anoint his body. She didn't go to the cross. She didn't go to the tomb. She waited for 3 days, and then she saw Jesus alive. And I wonder, you see, she worshiped him. She bowed before him, and she worshiped him as she poured the alabaster box of ointment. She poured out her love. My friend, when we come to church, we don't want to clap our hands just because it's the thing to do. We don't want to pat our feet just because it's the thing to do. We don't want to wave our arms just because it's the thing to do. My friend, we want our hearts to pour out love and worship for the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to worship Him for what He's done and for who He is and for all of it. Her memorial? No. We don't know what Mary looked like. She don't have a monument in Washington like Lincoln or Washington or Thomas Jefferson. She doesn't have a statue in a park somewhere, or her pictures is not hanging in the Louvre. You see, we don't know anything about the looks of Mary. We don't have any kind of statue or picture of her as a memorial, but her name is glorified everywhere in the world. You know what? Her name is read in over 1,000 languages. Her name is read on every continent and every country in the world. Her name is written in the best-selling book that ever was in the world and maybe ever will be. And thousands, yes, millions, yes, billions of people have read the name of Mary of Bethany and have thought about it. She, my friend, is famous because she worshiped Jesus Christ and poured out of her love and her faith her magnificent gift of a terrible expensive perfume. No, of love that held nothing back. Of love that loved him no matter what. Of love that reached out to him to touch him. My friend, let me ask you, ladies, whose feet have you ever washed and dried with the hair of your head? I mean, that's far out. And yet she did. And somebody, it's a wonder they hadn't criticized it because they might have said it was erotic or they might have said it was indecent. I can remember when holiness people could not wear shoes. Cecil, I don't know if you remember this or not, but I can remember when holiness people, women could not wear shoes without heels and toes. They had to have full shoes. They could not have shoes with toes out of them and heels out of them. Oh, Jesus would have been in such a fix in the holiness church, wouldn't he? He would have had a terrible fix, you know, because he wore sandals, because he went barefoot. He's laying at the table and he's barefoot. And she loves his feet. She loves his head. She touches all of his body that she can touch because she knows he's going to be in the cemetery. He's going to be on the cross. But she knows that if she anoints him for burial, she better do it now because on the third day, he's coming out of there. Hallelujah. I honor Mary of Bethany tonight. But I ask you, in one of the other Gospels, Jesus said, she has done what she could. She has done what she could. Have you done what you could? Have I done what I could? Have we done what we could? Or have we held back? You see, my friend, we need to break the whole box. Give up the whole thing. Pour out the whole amount. And give our love to the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Our Father, now God, we come into your presence tonight and we thank you so much for your great love and your wonderful blessings. Father, we thank you for this story of Mary of Bethany who gave all she had for Jesus Christ, who poured out her glory and her money, who poured out all that she had for him and poured it out that she could not get it back because her love for him was extravagant. Father, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts today and let us know just how much we ought to love. Father, I remember an old hymn that says, I want to love him more. And I pray that we, Father, can say that in our hearts, that we can come to the place that we love God. We love Christ more than we have ever loved him before. That we honor him for his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension into glory, his intercession with God our Father. Lord, I pray you'll speak to us tonight and open our hearts. Dig around us, God, with your Holy Ghost whole. Move into our hearts and soften us, O God, and soften the hard places in our heart and make us willing to pour out our love in worship before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Holy Father, we ask it in Jesus' name that thy Holy Spirit and thy Holy Grace will bless and touch. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. Would you stand all over the building and let's sing together this wonderful old hymn. And as we sing it, we'd be so glad, all of us here, to join you in prayer for your needs tonight. Let's sing it. God. Christ was willing to die. God our Father was willing to give Him up. The Holy Ghost stood by. The angels stood by while He died. Just so Eddie Kendall could go to heaven. Just so you all could be saved. And all the sinners of the world. Christ, I'm an Arminian about that. Christ died for the sins of who? The whole world. Hallelujah. Whosoever will can come and drink of the water of life freely. And if any man will come to Him, He'll in no wise turn him out. So if you're not a Christian tonight, think about it. Let God's Spirit touch you. Let Him draw you to the cross of Calvary. Amen. Thank you for coming. Father, we thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for your precious people. Pray the Holy Spirit will bless and touch and anoint us with your grace. Heavenly Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.